Maya Corona brings you
Phoenix City.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix City for another week. This is a bit of a weird one. You can tell that I am not Frosty. My name is Patrick. I am back in New Zealand. And I am hosting our first remote record of Phoenix City. We are obviously following government guidelines and are not in the room together. As it is Wednesday night New Zealand time on the 25th of March, we are about to head into lockdown. But we've got ahead of the curve and we already planned to remote record this week anyway. We've got a video chat going so we can hear each other and talk, and hopefully we can put together something that is worth listening to and listenable. But Dave is here. Dave, how you doing?
Not too bad. Hello, hello.
Ella is also here. She's recording up in Auckland. How you doing, Ella?
G'day, g'day.
Frosty is here recording from our Eastbourne studio. It's currently under repairs, are they, Frosty?
No, scaffold's up. Well, part of it is, and I'm sitting in the basement like a spotty teenager.
And Cam is here too, recording from our original space. We recorded much of our early episodes, aren't you, Cam?
I certainly am, getting shade thrown at me by my wife.
She can hear one conversation we're having right now, which I imagine is quite strange for her.
One way out of a five-way conversation, it's probably the weirdest thing she's listened to since my children went to sleep.
I mean, good. I think you should just say something really, really weird right now to freak her out a bit.
Okay, go for it. Tell me.
No, I think you need to say
it. You can come up with something.
Oh, that's no fun.
I'll teach you something to say, mate.
Talk about how sticky the beers are right now. How are the sticky beers, Cam?
Sticky beers? Jesus.
Did that get the desired response?
I did, actually. It was quite an odd response there.
Wonderful. Anyway, let's move on to talk about the big news of, I was going to say the week, but it's probably big news of the year for the A-League. But yesterday's announcement from FA CEO James Johnson.
Yes,
is that his name?
That is his name.
JJ.
I imagine, yeah. It sounds a lot like Jack Johnson, but that the A-League is now on postponement, very specifically the word postponed rather than cancellation, which means no more A-League for the foreseeable future. We didn't see this coming, did we, anybody, really? This was quite out of the blue.
No chance.
Oh, yeah, real surprise.
That's some brilliant trolling, Pat. Yeah. Welcome back, mate.
I mean, I think the only people who didn't see this coming were apparently the FFA. I mean, honestly.
No. I think they saw that coming too. The only people that stopped this coming earlier was Fox.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that this is the only reason why it kept going, isn't it? That it was for the Fox money and to not violate the contract with Fox.
And even the language being used at the moment is still around that, I'm pretty sure. You know, talking about postponement, the fact that even after it was very clear they were going to cancel or postpone the league, that they still played an additional game that everyone knew was just an irrelevant game. I think it's all largely setting up for potential legal arguments that might be made down the track that the league tried everything it possibly could to deliver on the contract. You know, they postponed, they, you know, put all the people in isolation, they traveled all to the same states and did all the stuff they were doing to try and fulfill the contract. So I think it'd be a reasonable argument on their part that they did everything within their power to play the rest of the league and the governments have got in the way. It'll be interesting to see how that argument plays out in an ensuing legal battle. I don't know whether it'll be a good one or not, but I can see that they're trying to set up for that, and fair enough.
It's a real shame that they actually have to be fair. Like,
yep, if, agree.
I think as you said it last week, Fox had the opportunity here to be the biggest player, you know, to be the big man and basically say, you guys are good. Even if they offered like a pro rata payment for the number of games that, or the amount of the season that had already been played, you know, offer a decent solution, even if it's not being able to pay out the entire amount, there's loads of ways they could have gone and stopped any of this having to happen and any of the Phoenix having to spend that week in isolation and then get sent home for no reason.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that is the most baffling to me is that the Phoenix travelled over. Like, we all knew when they did that there was going to be no football being played in 2 weeks' time. Like, yeah. This thing was moving so quickly that when they went over, the fact that they went when they did so they could get in before the borders got shut should have been a warning flag. But, I mean, I wrote down some of the quotes that he said during the press conference. One of them is, there are no regrets, but Wellington will go home. And I'm like, why would you not regret pulling 22 players plus support staff away from their families at like one of the biggest struggles that we've had in modern history in terms of that's the time you want to be with your family? Like, that just beggars belief why they thought that was a good idea. Yeah. And still haven't apologized for it, saying we made a mistake. Like, that is just farcical.
I think it's part of that.
No.
We'll go to you, Frosty.
Okay. Yeah, they were never going to apologise for it. I mean, it's one, they've got to look like they were not held over a barrel by Fox and look like they'd basically made a bad deal with them. If they did that, they'd just be chumps and everyone would be trying to have them for breakfast for that. So, they just got to try and save what face they can, lube up for the eventual reaming by Fox's lawyers and just, yeah, hope it doesn't go badly. Just hope you get a good judge. Don't say that we saw this coming and we put people at jeopardy, because then they've got two lawsuits, one from the PFA and the other from Fox.
Well, that's the next thing I've written down, is that he said there is no health advice that says it is not safe
apart
for the players
from
to play.
All the governments.
You mean apart from it being a massively contagious virus?
Well, now, to be fair, you can't really deny what he says there. I think that's actually true, yeah, because it is safe for the players to play the game if they don't have this virus. It's only if they've got the virus that it isn't safe. And the problem is it's incredibly contagious and it's very easy to get. So it's not so much that it's not safe for them to play the game. It's just not safe for them to be in Australia.
Yeah, there is no increased risk from playing football that doesn't exist for any other activity that people are undertaking. The thing is the interaction with people. But in reality, with them all in isolation the way they were, I'm sure medical advice would be, yeah, you guys can play football. That's fair. And I think that I agree with Cam. I think that's true. The fact that they've had to travel to a different country that has significantly more cases and all of that kind of stuff certainly has increased risk. But the actual football itself doesn't.
But there was only one team, two teams in isolation like that. And the Melbourne Victor were isolated by themselves. Like, every other team was just civil society, right? So was every single team on lockdown?
They weren't in necessarily team isolation, but every team had put protocols in place where they weren't interacting with the general public, because they knew that obviously there was going to be a scenario which they needed to avoid risk. You know, they were going to be traveling around the country and all of that. So whichever team you're on, even if you were Sydney FC, you were interacting with people a lot less than you would have otherwise. It was kind of a bit like a team isolation, but still in their own homes. Yeah.
The next quote that I want to pull out, and I very much pulled out the quotes that I disagree with personally.
Of course you did.
Feedback from the fans was to keep football going for as long as possible.
I'd love to know what fans he talked to.
Because that's not us.
Yeah.
None of us were saying that.
Nothing on Twitter or Facebook or any of those sorts of channels seemed to suggest that was a widespread view, that's for sure. I think obviously some people would have liked the ability to continue watching football like that. That was nice, but not at the cost of, you know, players, you know, welfare. I don't think anyone thinks that's a good idea. Like, you know, there's still one league playing on, professional league in the world. And if I happen to be awake at the right time, I might watch that. But I also think that's a horrendous decision that FA has made to continue playing.
And it's not just...
Is that the Belarusian League?
Yeah, that's correct. That's the only one I know of at the moment.
the
League
welfare
was still playing last week. But yeah, that seems to be gone now as well.
We won some money on that last week on betting as well, so can't really argue. Mm.
What? Who won money on
me
it?
Me and a couple of mates.
You were betting on the Belarusian Premier League.
There was nothing
League.
Else to bet on.
Yeah, there's very little. The TAB have added esports now because of that. They've got nothing else to be doing, so they've added esports, which obviously has been a big gambling thing overseas for a while now, but hasn't really been a thing you can do in New Zealand, and suddenly you can.
Bizarre. So the Phoenix are back now. They flew back yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, which is a huge result. I think the overwhelming sentiment amongst Phoenix fans was concern that with the changes to border controls and all of the suggestions around non-permanent residents and citizens would not be able to get in. So it's fantastic news that whoever managed to get that across the line did with immigration. I'm assuming people like Domi were involved in that, but whoever that was, I mean, they deserve a lot of kudos for getting people like David Ball and that back in the country and back to their families.
It should also be pointed out that some of the Aussie boys elected to stay there with their families. Yeah. It makes sense, obviously, for someone like Luke Devere, who's just had a baby, and yet Uli's gone back to Mexico to see his new child. I mean, to be fair, once they make a decision about whether this league is going to continue for this season, it's going to take, you know, the logistics of getting that all set up is going to give them plenty of time to get back here and back into training. So, you know, it's not like
season can continue.
No, this is a purely hypothetical. Even if it was, we're not looking at it before June. So there's no way it's going to start anytime soon. So there's still plenty of time for them to come back and, you know, get into training and get back into the swing of things if they ever decided to continue it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is that this is going to go on for at least 4 weeks for New Zealand, and Australia is not quite as strict about things at the moment, but you imagine it's similar timeframes for them, but probably longer. Yep. And the league is supposed to finish early May, and that's not going to happen. You've got 5 rounds of games left. Player contracts end at the end of June, I believe. And so if it's not finished before June, then the players are going to leave, and they are rightfully allowed to go wherever they want and pick up any contract they want. I can't see the rest of the season being played out in any capacity unless it happens in September.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless there's a degree of, obviously, what's happening with the A-League, something with the A-League at the moment, but the rest of the world still, you know, that all their leagues and stuff are going to be pushed out. So I guess there's a degree of, it's not just the A-League being on its hiatus and no one else is. There's kind of a degree of the other ones are going to have to contend with it as well. So maybe there's a...
Yeah. You can see FIFA...
There won't necessarily be a huge exodus.
You can see FIFA maybe coming to the party with things like changing the international windows and things, you know, the transfers and all of that around the situation. I mean, it certainly is going to have impacts broader than you'd expect. And so I think there might be some leniency showing. But I don't know that it's going to be widespread. But I also think that the key problem here is you've got to make a call that's not going to have huge flow-on effects. So the later this runs, the more you're pushing into the following season. And obviously, I think given the situation, people will understand if next season starts a little later and is maybe a bit more compressed or something like that. But at a certain point, you know, if you're running into July or something or even later trying to still sort this out, you're not going to feasibly be able to get through next season. So at a certain point, you've got to cut your loss and go, well, at this point, the season's done and we're planning for the next season, not trying to plan for two incredibly compressed seasons.
Don't forget.
As much as it pains me to say, given that the Phoenix are where they are on the table, we should just call the season off. Like, that should
be it. Should just be an asterisk.
It should be just done and dusted. Either present the Premier's plate to Sydney FC, who clearly the best team, and say there was no final series, so we're not going to award the championship. Things like that. You might run into problems with AFC. The league is going to have problems with AFC in terms of who qualifies for Champions League.
I don't think that's going to be an issue, mate. There's going to be any Champions League next season.
Yeah. That's a fair point.
So this season, honestly, I think call it now, and then, you know, the likelihood of having widespread international travel anytime in the next 12 to 18 months is quite slim. So the idea of an Asian Champions League is probably pretty foreign at this point.
Yeah.
So there we are. So there's no downside to calling it, presenting a Premier's plate to Sydney FC, who have absolutely earned it. It's highly unlikely anyone was going to catch them. And that's probably the only way that you could rounds it out fairly, Dave.
Yeah, I think the only reason that you haven't seen that happen is still the TV deal. I think if they call it, and you know, if they'd called it as they should have a few weeks ago, they would have been in the same position of the lawyers at Fox saying you didn't do everything you could to deliver on your contract. So the only reason we're talking postponement at this point, I think, is exactly that. So that the longer these shutdowns drag on, because I think feasibly, I mean, the way government and stuff is talking and all the advice it sounds like from overseas is that we'll do this 4-week shutdown. We'll probably ease back a little, but then we'll have another period of shutdown. You know, it's about creating those waves. And so the reality is that we will, you know, 4 weeks might be how long this is, or it might be 5 or 6 or whatever. But even once we're out of this shutdown period, chances are there are more heavy restriction periods to come. We're not going to be through this just in this one period. And so realistically, there's no way the Phoenix are going to be able to participate in the league. And if Australia hit the sort of restrictions they should be, it'll be the same for them as well. So there's no way, but by using the postponement language, they'll be able to argue that they would have if we'd been able to, but you know, those sneaky governments got in the way, and that's fair enough. You know, that's a fair position for them to be trying to set up to make that argument. But it does mean us as fans and the players and all of that are stuck in this limbo. But I'm sure behind the scenes, the talk with the clubs is it's very unlikely we're playing this season. It's kind of similar to if you look at the Capital Football situation at the moment. At the moment, there is a postponement in place. But I think realistically, you know, most clubs know there's a solid chance the season isn't going to occur at all this season. And if it does, it's extremely short and it's very late in the season. You know, it might be one or so rounds, and who knows.
The Capital Football season hadn't started yet, had it?
No, it had not.
Yeah. Which makes it easier to postpone, I think. It's the pausing in the middle of a league that is difficult here.
And there's, you know, Capital Football here in Wellington are still, you know, planning eventualities of if after 4 weeks there is still time. You know, what does that look like? How do we play a season and, you know, four less weeks than we would have had previously? But I think realistically they're also making that contingency of when do we pull the pin on the season entirely.
What have you heard as a player, Ella?
I'm not playing this season, so I've not heard anything.
So
yeah, not heard anything.
That makes sense if you're not playing. I was going to throw to the one person on the on the pod who actually plays football currently, but apparently not.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I just signed up for an old age team.
How's that going for you with the shutdown?
Okay. Masters.
I don't even know if it's called Masters. It's that old.
Super Masters.
Basically, wow. half the players.
It's probably Masters 5, where they've got back about six teams and no one under the age of 60.
If you ever need a referee to come and laugh at you all, I am available, Frosty.
Rather than being the middle, can you just run one of the lines? Just one.
Like you did in Napier, mate, at the under-19s tournament. I would love to see you do that again.
That seems like so long ago now. Although, to be fair, seems like so long ago.
It was seven years ago now.
Yeah, 2013? Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. What a time. Those times of normality, right? Running behind an assistant referee at a tournament.
This is our new normal now, mate.
That's our new normal, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, even just the fact that there was football played last week seems utterly bizarre to me. But they got some football in, and
yeah.
It's just very strange that, especially with the A-League, when they must have known, they definitely knew before the Monday night game, but they must have known before the weekend's games that they were about to cancel and let them go. I mean, you spoke about it on last week's pod about how it made sense to play that W League game behind closed doors, where that was one game left. And you may as well play it and get it done and have a champion of the season. But to keep playing the A-League games, it just is – I don't understand what their thinking was whatsoever beyond Fox Sports. Surely they have a duty of care to look after the players. And the fact that they didn't consider that, especially in Australia now that the number of cases is blowing up and deaths are occurring, it doesn't make any sense to play those games. But money rules, which is a sad, sad thing in today's footballing world.
It makes it all the more interesting that I don't recall having seen a hell of a lot of word from the PFA. There's been little bits and pieces, but nothing anywhere near as definitive as I kind of would have expected.
I believe that they didn't say anything until the confirmation of cancellation came out, and then they said something.
Yeah, the CEO, John, how do you say his name? Didulica. Said during the league's pause, we can take some control back by ensuring the players work with the FFA, clubs, broadcasters and government to, you know, secure the professional game's future. But other than that, there's not really been much that's come out.
I imagine that they were busy in negotiations and potentially not been able to talk publicly. Would be an explanation for that.
Yeah.
And it suggests there may be a level of understanding that actually the future of the game is also important for the players. Like, that's not directly a welfare issue, but if the league were to collapse, that also threatens those players' livelihoods, and, you know, there is a welfare element to that. So maybe behind the scenes there are some pretty frank discussions going on about the precarious position this financial impact could have on the league. I mean, we even saw Domi admit, and I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, an article on Stuff that, you know, this place is the Phoenix in an uncertain future. They don't know what the financial impacts on the club look like. And I think a lot of that does rely on they don't know what the outcome of that Fox discussion will be. They obviously have a strong idea of how hardball Fox are playing, because everything we see on the outside suggests that they're playing pretty hard.
And there's the article that came out today as well, mate, saying now Fox are looking to bin the A-League anyway. Yep. So that's probably just a follow-on, you know, from all of the stuff that's been going on in the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And so you know, there is, I'm sure, a huge amount of uncertainty, because if they get some money out of Fox, I'm sure the impacts are probably not as massive. But if they end up with Fox walking away from the TV deal and paying nothing, then that would have huge implications for a number of clubs. And I'm sure we're on that list of ones that would be in trouble, not necessarily, you know, dire straits, but trouble.
I think you also need to look at the fact that this could very, very easily flow into next year.
Absolutely.
Like there's every possibility that we are going to be doing this on and off for the next 6 to 12
yep.
months.
Yep.
And if that's the case, there is no A-League season for 2021.
Correct.
And there'll be no handy prem, there'll be no capital football, there'd be nothing. So, you know, even in through Europe, it looks so bad over there that, you know, I think any talk of any of these seasons going ahead now is just too premature. You need to give it 6 months, because it just looks like this will go on and on. And if the talk of a vaccine coming in, what, 12 to 18 months or possibly longer, that might be where you have to look at any chance of anything getting back to a level of normality.
Yeah. Phoenix will qualify for government subsidies, right?
So definitely at least 30% of their takings would be affected by this.
It's an interesting one, because there are, I think, a couple of legal entities. So it's all around whether they apply for New Zealand subsidies or Australian subsidies. And I think there's probably some uncertainty on that front as well.
Why not both?
You would think the FFA probably are qualifying for something, or the league as a whole probably qualifying for something. There's obviously a level of, I wouldn't say onus, but there will be a level of support given from the Australian government to sporting bodies, I would imagine. The FFA will make that list, but I there'll be money for league and Aussie rules and all of that as well, I'm sure, if the financial impacts are as big as they are likely to be. But how much of that flows to us is very hard to tell, because you can't imagine the Australian government wanting the Phoenix to be supported through that. But equally, whether or not the New Zealand government wants to support a thing playing in Australia. So we might be stuck in a little bit of limbo, or we might be stuck in a place where we can double dip. It's very, very hard to tell. I think there's a lot of stuff there that'll take a long time to play out and find out exactly where that sits. And in the meantime, you'll have owners essentially having to kind of underwrite that and hope for the best.
It's early days yet, but do you think that we end up with 11 clubs whenever the league resumes, or do you think that this will be too much for some of them and they will fold?
Well, we're meant to have 12 clubs at the start of next season.
Good point.
I think there's no chance we have 12 clubs at the start of next season. The next season that gets played, or certainly not the 12 clubs as they exist at the moment.
Who would drop off?
Yep.
CCM surely are looking.
Yeah, Marin is gone. Great. I totally agree with that. Yeah. I would say
the Backers in Brisbane would be.
Yep. They're done.
Western United.
Western United.
Yeah.
Man, we're all on the same page here. This is quite amusing.
Yeah. Do we think MacArthur would still come in?
Yep.
I think that would delay, right?
Yeah, yeah. I would think so. I think so. I think Western United and MacArthur are interesting ones, because obviously there are requirements around their license of essentially underwriting themselves for the first few years. But they will still be relying on, in I think it's the first 2 years or maybe it's three, but in that year after, they would be relying on, you know, rolling in some TV deal cash to help replenish the coffers a little. But if Fox have walked away from the deal and any new deal is looking lower in value or something, that's going to put some real pressure on them, because the return they're relying on to eventually hit might suddenly be much less than what they're planning on in their financial modelling. So that'll be really interesting, because I think so much of what they're doing will rely on the TV deal.
We could be back to an A-team league.
I think realistically, we've got to be on that list as well. I don't think we're in the same position as the CCM. I think, you know, Charlesworth is already spending the minimum and surely isn't looking to tip in a pile of his own cash to keep things afloat. But I think our owners have always, you know, been around looking to break even and make it a sustainable model. This is obviously a very rare event, but you're still asking them probably to tip in significant chunk of their own money to keep it rolling, with a very uncertain future ahead, particularly if the TV deals and stuff have fallen over. I think we're on that list too.
Not just for the Phoenix as a business, but all those owners get their money from somewhere through other businesses which are hit by this.
Yep.
I think realistically, you also got to chuck a Nui in there as well. In fact, to be fair, I think the only clubs that are probably safe from this will be Victory and City, Sydney and Wanderers, and Perth, and maybe Adelaide. There's going to be six teams here, maybe five or six teams that are really going to struggle to pull through this.
Yeah, and it's one of those ones as well where I think it's worth noting that just because we don't think that, so I think Charlesworth and the Batcrees are probably the most risky owners there, but that doesn't mean there aren't other owners willing to step in and take over those clubs. That's a distinct possibility. You'd like to hope that would have surfaced already, particularly in Charlesworth's case. But if he wants to bail out, it doesn't mean the Mariners necessarily fold as a club, but it does mean significant change coming for them if that were to happen. I think, we're probably in a unique position of anyone who's willing to own our club probably already is part of the group owning the club. I don't know that we have a fallback option, but I think some of those Australian clubs probably do.
The thing with us, though, is that one or two of the owners drop out. I mean, that doesn't mean the club folds.
No,
one or two of the big ones, maybe, but there's been a significant number of ownership changes. I don't think we're aware of all of them.
Yeah.
Of people coming in and out over the last 8 years that Wellnex have owned the club. So those changes already do happen. New people coming in. So just because one or two do want to drop out doesn't mean the others won't step up.
And I think that's the thing that makes us have a really stable ownership group is exactly that model that we have a range of owners working as a consortium that if one person drops out, it doesn't have anywhere near the same impact, which is good for us. But if you do have a majority or particularly some of those key ones go, then maybe it starts the ship a sinking. But you'd hope that's not the case, that they've... The owners that front up all the time to the media and that kind of stuff are, pretty darn committed to it and do a huge amount of work and already tip in a lot of their own money. So I wouldn't be surprised if that continues.
Do we think that if Philly does come back, it's on Fox at all? If no matter what happens from here in terms of the legal battle, but do you think the league has to look at someone like Optus Sports or one of the streaming providers?
That's an outstanding question, Pat, and I actually think you're right. It needs to look at someone like Optus Sports. I don't think Fox want the product anymore.
Yeah.
And I think they'll do everything they can, seeing as what they've done in this situation thus far. I think they'll do everything they can to get out of the deal. In that situation, going to someone like Optus Sports is a great idea.
Because Fox cut back their pre and post show coverage this season as well. Like they cut off all those magazine shows as well. So
yeah.
Yeah.
They were already looking very likely that they were wanting to save money on the A-League, let alone have it.
Well, and there's three more seasons left on the deal as well. So if they can get out now for, a breach of contract or something like that, I think they'll be trying as hard as they can. But whether or not the league can cobble together a deal in time for even next season, let alone a rest of this season type deal, who knows? You'd certainly assume it won't be at a premium rate.
No. Well, it already wasn't at a premium rate. What was Gallup? No, Gallup wanted 80 million.
Despite what David Gallup would tell you.
He wanted 80 million and got 45 or something.
56.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. Definitely under what he thought the product was worth. But, it's very interesting times for the A-League and the Phoenix. I mean, the world in general, right? Like, that's the whole reason all this is happening. But we did see some football get played over the weekend. There was some W League and some A League. We'll talk about W League first because it was the grand final. I think Ella and Dave, you both watched this, I believe. But we'll throw to Ella to talk what happened.
Yeah, obviously it was nominally played behind closed doors, although there was some friends and family of the players that were there in the stadium to watch it, to watch the game played, sort of seated a few seats apart behind the camera so you couldn't see them.
They did cut to them at one point, which was quite funny.
Yeah. Oh, are you guys physically distancing yourselves? Oh, I hope so. It was a pretty tight game, to be fair. So obviously Melbourne City versus Sydney FC. City coming in with unbeaten in the league. Sydney last year's premiers, champions. Both three championships each. So completely lost the train. Decided by kind of one of those goals that you just wish a championship game wasn't going to be decided by, Steph Catley in the 15th minute.
1-0, right?
Yeah, final score 1-0. Yeah, only goal of the game. Sydney, to be fair, had kind of had the upper hand for most of the, you know, the result didn't really reflect the game, I don't think. Sydney deserved to get a bit more out of it than they did, and to lose to the goal the way that it was conceded. So Steph Catley sort of hit from quite a tight angle, shot across the goal, and kind of, I think it must have just bounced slightly off Bledsoe's chest, and she kind of, it looked like she sort of tossed it into the net. Just one of those nightmare situations.
It was a weird game because obviously City came in pretty strong favourites, having gone through the season undefeated, and you know, kind of expected to kind of romp over Sydney here. Looked decidedly second best for a lot of the game. Although Sydney, they did have the goal, so they could kind of play that way. But Sydney, I thought, particularly in the second half, really looked like they were playing the better football, and probably for large patches there should have got a goal. And if this had gone to extra time at 1-1, that wouldn't have been an unfair result at all for Sydney. So I think they'll leave disappointed.
Yeah, and they were quite unlucky as well. Sort of later on in the first half, you know, balls kind of pumped into the box. It initially looked like it hit Steph Catley in the face, but actually you could see on the replays that her arm had come up. But she'd quite cleverly sort of like thrown it across her face as well, so it just looked like she was just ricocheting with the ball. But, you know, they had a decent penalty shout that if there was VAR, that would have picked it up. So no penalty for Sydney. Unfortunate goal to concede. It just was one of those days where it just wasn't quite working out for them. Second half, Ellie Carpenter closed off the goal line for City. So, yeah, I mean, they did well to keep Carpenter quiet for most of the game. So she's been probably one of the standout players, you know, in the W League, the right back. Obviously for City and the Matildas, and she was kept pretty quiet by Veronica Lasco and the Sydney fullback as well. But sort of as the game wore on, she sort of did start to impose herself in the game a bit more.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those ones. You know, you look at the season as a whole, and City are probably deserved winners.
You never query them.
As a final, this was a much more exciting and tight game than I expected. I was sure this was going to be an absolute romp for City. So it was good watching.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of nice seeing that they weren't going to steamroll their way away from it, because that's kind of where their season had gone to the end of it. And you kind of wonder if, you know, the slightly disrupted, you know, sort of preparations for the final game, like that started to have an effect. It was interesting. Kaya Simon had an op-ed in The Guardian the day after the final talking about, you know, the experience of playing the grand final in a behind closed door setting, and saying it is just that little bit different. And sort of the expectations and kind of the energy that you'd usually bring to that game just, you know, wasn't quite. Didn't quite manifest as it usually would.
So, one thing I found fascinating about the coverage of this as well was that they had Natasha Dowie on commentary, which
she's fantastic.
She was excellent as a commentator. I thought that was really good. But it also felt kind of surreal having a player who had literally played this season and had been playing the semi-final the week before commentating the grand final, but it provided a really nice insight. But I honestly can't think of an occasion where I've seen that before. You might do something like that where you cut to a little sideline interview or a little, you know, flavor piece to the final, but not actually have them on the commentary. But she was fantastic, and it really was good. So it's nice that they were able to, you know, kind of pull that in at late notice
however it went out. But it's great. Yeah, I think they had her for the City semi-final as well, and, you know, again, she's fantastic. So like, if they can get her doing more of that, that'd be excellent. Yeah, they've had a few
better
former
than
players.
Archie Thompson. That's all I can say.
Like, undoubtedly much better. I mean, honestly, former players just doing commentary is often not a good thing, but she was phenomenally good.
Well, we've got Archie Thompson player, and we had Siggy. Yeah, so way better than either of those. But we also had A-League that was played, which nobody really cared about other than saying bye to the A-League by the time we got to Monday night's game. But Cam, have you got those results to talk us through?
I sure do. So the Friday night saw Central Coast Mariners go down 4-2 to Melbourne City. Jamie McLaren getting a hat-trick in that game, which I think makes him the player with the most hat-tricks in A-League history, or equal with the most hat-tricks in A-League history, something
it's
like that.
Berisha, right?
I might have talked that up for our next pod.
McLaren's got quite a few as well. It'd certainly be tight. Yeah. It certainly secured golden boot for him, if you're going to award that.
We'll find out when the season finishes in 2021. So the next game was Brisbane 1, Newcastle Jets 0. Goal to Scott McDonald. Saturday saw a 1-1 draw in the Sydney Derby. Lafondra got the goal for Sydney in the 35th minute, and it was equaled by Kwame Yeboah in the 82nd. And the season rounded out with the Jets beating Melbourne City 2-1, which would theoretically have been a great result for us. with Fitzgerald getting the opening goal for Jets in the 46th minute, because it was time added on, being levelled by Berengues in the 70th minute, and then Yugarkovic scored in the 78th minute to take the win. And this game is particularly notable because Newcastle subbed on Glenn Moss in the 86th minute of the game to give him his 250th A-League appearance in what looks like it's going to be his last game if the season doesn't start again.
Well, they knew, obviously, along with the rest of us, that this was going to be the last game of the A-League for the season, and that's why they subbed him on.
Yeah, I think it's worth us congratulating them on winning the season. I mean, there was a chant that had gone up in the Yellow Fever at our last game, suggesting that last goal would win, and then at the end of that round, when we all thought the league was likely to be canned, the Jets scored the last goal, and I tweeted congratulating them on winning the league, and then, my goodness, the league continued. But yet again, the Jets managed to score the last goal, and so congratulations to them once again on taking out the season under last goal wins rules, which seems like the best way to decide it at this point. So, yeah, well done.
Dave, when we get out of lockdown, you should be presenting them with the A-League trophy.
Absolutely.
I saw
if it's anything like cricket rules, that sounds legit.
I mean, admittedly, when we started this, we thought we were going to have the last goal. And so, you know, that'd be nice for us. But, I mean, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And we should accept their glorious victory.
We've been slaughtered by the sword across multiple games.
Indeed.
I saw a Twitter thread that if you take Sydney FC as the holders of the title at the start of the season and do it boxing style, if you beat the holder, you get it. That would go through obviously 25 games or whatever, but we'd end up with Brisbane Roar would have that, having beaten the Jets the last time they played each other. So the Jets were close again to winning the league that way. But, I mean, do we care about the table at all? Because,
It's potentially interesting in that if the season were to resume, it surely will be based somehow on the existing table.
Okay,
because it puts us 4 points behind. Yeah, I'll do. I've got it here, Cam. I'm happy to go through it. But Sydney FC in if I get something wrong, tell me. But Sydney FC in first place with 48, well ahead of Melbourne City here on 40. We're on 36, and Brisbane are on 35. The interesting thing to note there is that, because we've been on lockdown and we were isolation and we were already games down, Melbourne City have played three more games than us. They're on 23 games versus our 20, and Brisbane have played 22. So if we were to pick up a couple of good results in those games that we catch up on them on, we're in a good position, second.
Yes, I think that's fair. But we've been saying we've looked like the second best team for quite some time now. So it wouldn't be a surprise for me if we did manage to finish second.
I saw a thing from Ryan's Rovers that if we ignore the first four games of the season, which I know that we can't do because they're part of the season, but take those first four games of the season out, where I think Sydney FC won all four of theirs and we lost all four of ours.
Correct.
But if we take those games out, we're absolutely neck and neck with them for the entire rest of the season. So that shows you how good the team was playing. I wasn't really watching much of it, I'll be honest with you, but whether we could continue that into whatever the season looks like if and when it gets completed. I mean,
well, Pat, doing what you've just said with Ryan's Rovers, we have the exact same record bar goals for and against, like 11 wins, 3 wins and 2 draws, exactly the same. So
it shows you how important those really tight games we played against Sydney were, because we had games there where we should have taken more points. We were significantly better than Sydney and didn't come away with 3 points. Those ones could have been the ones that turned that back around.
Yeah, well, they are clearly the best team in the league and have been. But the fact that we are able to come up with a stat that isn't completely ridiculous, like ignoring the start of the season when we're kind of betting in a new system and being neck and neck with the best team in the league, is really interesting. But even below us, like Brisbane are 1 point behind us, but Perth Glory are 5 points behind us, having played the same number of games. And West United, who are in sixth place, are 27 points. Like where we usually are at this point in the season, which is either bottom of the table or fifth or sixth, kind of pushing for that position in the team. It shows you how much good Ufuk did with the team to get them to this point. I'm a bit gutted that we're not going to see how this plays out and see whether the team can push and come second and get that home playoff. But at the same time, we all know that the right decision will be made, but whether it comes back or not, who knows?
I think in all likelihood, mate, if it does come back, it's possibly 12 months away. and I'll just be finishing off then because we haven't had any chance of any decent football until then. I hope I'm wrong. I really do, because I want to see. I don't know what I'd do for 12 months without football. I'll be sitting here. I'll be going out and buying myself a PlayStation so I can play FIFA, and I don't do video games. So yeah,
it doesn't sound like the worst outcome for you, Cam.
Well, yeah. Have you met my children?
I have. You're eventually going to have to buy them a PlayStation anyway.
Yeah. Well, there is that. They make a very, very solid point.
Get them a Nintendo Switch with Animal Crossing and you'll never hear from them again. There we go.
I wish I'd done that. I wish I'd known that before 10 p.m. on the night that we're going down to lockdown for 4 weeks.
You've got 4 minutes, Cam.
I've got four minutes. Yeah. 4 minutes to get to where? They're all closed.
Yeah, no.
Doesn't he have 2 hours and 4 minutes?
2 hours and 4 minutes. Yeah. It's not midnight yet.
Yeah, sorry, looking at the wrong time.
But by the time this goes out to the listeners, it will be negative time. So if they wanted to send you one, they can't.
I mean, if any listeners want to send me a Switch, I'll accept it after the lockdown's over. That'd be great.
Well, so would I. New Zealand Post is still going, so feel free. Just get in contact.
I'm
on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Send me a DM.
One of the other things that come out of this whole COVID-19 is the Olympics, which today officially got postponed until 2021, which will obviously have impacts for the Football Ferns and for the under-23s.
Yeah.
So I think, the men's under-23s.
Yeah, so I think all teams that have, if you've already qualified, you've qualified for the Olympics, and that won't affect them in the sense of they'll have to re-qualify or anything like that. But it does, for the Football Ferns in particular, it throws up an interesting question because Tom Samani's contract was to the end of the Olympics. I assume it was dated to the end of the Olympics as opposed to just when the Olympics finish. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, does he sign on for indefinitely another year? I assume those conversations are being held because obviously the Matildas and Ante Milicic is having a similar conversation there because he was supposed to join MacArthur after the Olympic campaign too. So, you know, in terms of... some of the national teams and the management and whatnot, you know, throws up some interesting questions.
Is Des Buckingham still in charge of the under-23s?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
It's, again, through to the end of the Olympics.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting as well. So both of those appointments will be very... Yeah, they've qualified for the Olympics too, haven't they? The under-23s?
Yeah. They have, yes.
Or they yet to play, they qualified. So no, they have.
They theoretically had the Nations Cup coming up in June, which I haven't heard anything about that being postponed, but it seems fairly logical.
Go out on a limb.
Yeah, probably.
Gotta go out on a limb.
Probably going to be. But yeah, to be fair, there's, you know, bigger and more important things going on in the world than paying attention to that. But,
I mean, to be fair, if there's anyone more insane than the FFA, it's probably OFC. So.
You are right, mate. You are right. But so, I mean, that was going to be a warm-up tournament for the under-23s before they headed over to Japan as well. So, I mean, how all that pans out, no idea. If their contracts, as Alice says, if their contracts are to the end of the Olympics rather than dated to the end of July, you know, I don't even know how it goes.
Yeah, it's good that they're both qualified and that doesn't affect that, but obviously whatever the run into that looks like in terms of if they're able to play games beforehand or whether they're forced to play games here against other teams in New Zealand or play each other as their preparation, I guess no Olympic sport is going to have an ideal run into these Olympics. Mm. It'll be very strange Olympics, but... at least they're going ahead. At least they got moved. I think that's the good thing, that there was so much talk that they weren't going to do it and they're going to come back in a month and work it out. So
it just kind of begged a belief, though, that they were putting off making that decision for so long when literally every other international competition has been pushed out. You've even got, you know, the Euros, for the men's Euros next year, the women's Euros after that. They're all going, okay, it's going to be pushed out another year at least.
I mean, it's
like the fact that they're going, oh, maybe the Olympics could still happen. Like, there's any way in the world that could have happened. It just...
It's the same thing as the A-League. It's all about the money, which is the sad thing, is that so many things are being the money first and the player welfare or the athlete welfare second.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, through all this, the athletes were still having to train. Frosty?
You look at the level of corruption. If there's any organisation that's more corrupt than football, it's the Olympics.
I haven't seen a press conference with money raining down over the president of the IOC yet. So when I see that, I'll believe that they're corrupt.
Oh, trust me. There's a couple of good books, and I can't remember who wrote them, but about the amount of money that's sloshing around the Olympics. It is insane. Well worth a read, seeing as you're all on lockdown.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess find it on Amazon on via Kindle.
Yeah, I wouldn't go into a bookstore.
Books.
I mean, you might struggle.
Yeah. They probably won't itch in, mate, let's be honest.
Part of this week was something that seems relatively insignificant now that things are where they are, but the coaches of the under-20s and the men's under-20s and the men's under-17s teams for New Zealand football changed this week, bizarrely, with Tony Redding's taking over from, who was it? Was it Dez that was the under-20s coach? I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was just a flow-on because he did the under-20s at the under-20 World Cup, but then took that, you know, the core of that group through into the under-23s for the Olympics. So it wasn't really an under-20s program and going to kick off until after the Olympics anyway.
But, Ryze, this isn't a replacement. This is just the next set of coaches that got announced. Is that what's happened?
That's cool. That's kind of what it feels like, yeah.
Gotcha. I don't understand why you'd not want Dez coaching your under-20s team, personally. After what he did at the last World Cup, and to put someone in place who hasn't coached in the men's level for a little while, doesn't make much sense to me. But maybe Dez didn't want the job. Maybe Dez had had enough with New Zealand football and the way that he's been dicked around slightly. This is all conjecture, fully conjecture.
Well, you could have asked him. He was keen to actually come on the pod prior to the Nations Cup and Olympics, and we could add a chat. But unfortunately, that's probably not going to be going ahead now. So,
maybe for another 12 months. Dez know that he can come on anyway. I'm sure we'd all like to hear his thoughts in this time.
Get him to record it from home.
We'll get him on the video chat.
Maybe they accused him of assaulting someone.
What? I don't know what we're talking about anymore. Frosty launching grenades.
I'm sorry, he cut out. I didn't hear his grenade.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know what he said. Martin Bullock is taking over those under-17s from Jose as well. So he's coming back from Australia where he held roles with Raw and Melbourne Victory to coach under-17s. So change in coach there as well. But like I said, it all feels very, very insignificant given all the other big changes that are happening in the world right now and in the footballing world.
All fair point.
No, but thanks, Cam. I appreciate the support.
You're welcome.
I had nothing to add, so, you know.
I was hoping someone would jump in, but they didn't, so I couldn't point to anybody. I couldn't point anybody on the spot. But unless anybody has anything urgent that they want to talk about with the rest of us and the listeners.
Thanks very much for listening to us, actually, to all those people out there. Be safe, stay home, don't be a dick. But thanks very much for listening to us throughout the season and really appreciate the support you guys give us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, obviously, we're going to try and keep recording as much as we can, but there's probably going to be less and less football to talk about. So if you, as listeners, have any ideas on things you would like to hear us talking about, I guess you could let us know. That's a great point, Dave. It's probably good for us to keep doing some recording, but good for you guys to have something to listen to as well. And I think we're all pretty realistic about the fact that our usual content will be drying up a little in the foreseeable future. So
I need this for my sanity, honestly. I'm going to be spending so much time with my kids that I'm going to need some kind of outlet once a week. So maybe we should open up to the patrons first about maybe give us some topics to chat about. That might be a good idea.
Yeah, we'll do that. If you want to suggest what we're going to talk about, jump on the Patreon, support us on any tier, and you can message us and let us know what you want us to talk about. But the technologies work pretty well, I think. So hopefully this was relatively listenable despite us being in different rooms and
different rooms.
Five different sets of microphones.
It's much nicer not having to see Frosty.
Yeah. But we'll wrap up there. Thank you very much to us, and we'll be back in some capacity very soon. Don't know when it is, don't know what we'll talk about, but we'll be back. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye. World's ending brings you.
Yeah, 4 weeks of lockdown, nothing to talk about brings you.
The greater good brings you.
The greater good.
All for the greater good.
The greater good.